You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
The podcast where we're not the only podcast with three white guys talking about worthless nerdy crap, but we're not the worst.
It's a really good try there.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
It's a solid B effort.
Yeah, I'll take a B.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll go ahead and I'll just give you an A.
All right, thanks. That is the voice of our guest for this episode. This Mr. I always say Mr. Brooks, but it's just Brooks. And last time we even talked about this.
It's because that Kevin Costner
movie. It is that Kevin Costner movie with Dane Cook. Why is Dane Cook in that movie? That's right.
Because he was really popular for 2 years.
But why throw him in a shitty horror movie? That's actually not even that shitty. It was all right.
Because there's that faint hope that he might die.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
He does die in that movie, doesn't he?
I never saw it.
I haven't watched it.
I've actually watched it.
I don't think you have to say spoilers for Mr. Brooks.
Fair enough.
No. I don't think anybody cares.
But no, we're joined by Brooks. Brooks, who joined us on Diablo 2, has been a big supporter of the show for a long time. Just an all-around cool guy. We're going to have him. This is the first of two episodes you're going to be on for this Halloween season.
I love this time of year, man.
And so, first up, what movie are we going to be talking about today, buddy?
We are going to talk about an all-time favorite of mine. It's An American Werewolf in London.
Yes, it's 1970...
81.
81.
Is it 81? Okay. I just feel like it's got that 70s vibe.
It's
but
real close.
Yeah, okay.
It's right at that awkward transition phase of movies where it's still kind of 70s-ish, but
yes,
jumping into that solid 80s feel.
Okay. So this movie was directed by John Landis. Pretty famous director.
Yeah.
What I like about this movie, just a nice little thing, as Michael Jackson loved this movie so much, he hired John Landis and special effects director Rick Baker to do the Thriller video, maybe the most famous music video of all time.
Yeah, it's a top five. Yeah.
I'd rank it up there pretty high.
And it works. But before we get into that,
nailed it.
I want to talk about
John Landis, who you also might know from Animal House, which we talked about in a previous episode.
You should go check that out. He also did the Twilight Zone movie and got three people killed. I don't know if you know that.
Was he the one that got the...
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, that was John Landis directing that part that got three people killed. It was somebody's dad and then two children.
Yeah.
Cool.
All three died.
In that helicopter scene.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fucking... pretty fucked up. So...
Pretty rough.
It's pretty fucked up to not show us on camera what happened. That should have been in the movie.
You can see it on camera. It's on YouTube. Yeah, it's on YouTube. You can see it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. It's like the Oompa Loompa. No, not Oompa Loompa. Who are the little people from Wizard of Oz? Do they have a name? The Lollipop Guild. Yeah. How you can see like one hanging themselves in the background.
But it's really, it's Munchkins to be.
Oh, Munchkins. It is Munchkins. Okay. That's right.
I wasn't sure. I didn't want to use a disparaging name.
If you actually watch like an HD cut, it's very obviously like a crane in the background.
They say that. I'm still not convinced.
I've seen that part too.
Yeah. I'm still not convinced.
It's a Munchkin.
It's a Munchkin hanging.
It's a Munchkin who's upset with
Hollywood Union. And it perfectly
sinks
the dark side of the moon. That's just what it is.
That part is true. That does work out.
Yeah.
When you're on a lot of acid.
No, it's still, even if you're sober, still works.
Yeah. I've not done it sober, so I can't comment on that.
That's okay.
But
okay.
I've heard it works really well on acid.
I have a friend named Mile.
Through the great divine.
A friend named Mile told me. Works really well on acid. So, but before we get into this, this is Halloween season. This movie is about a werewolf. I mean, it's in the fucking title. I thought I'd like to know, let's take this back to the beginning. I want to know what your guys' favorite universal monster is. Now, the universal monsters I generally classify them as the first five. It's the big ones that are owned by Universal. That's Frankenstein, Dracula, the Mummy, the Wolfman, and the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
I'd say that's fair.
Yeah. Bride of Frankenstein, I mean, she is one, but she's not one of the big ones, I feel. Mm. So Just basing it off of those five, the originals, the guys that pretty much started all of this.
Is the Invisible Man part of that?
I mean, maybe, but the Invisible Man, it's That's just a dude in bandages.
Would you technically classify him as a monster, though?
And also, he does. I mean, it's just a dude in bandages, which we have with the mummy.
But he's invisible. Like, he exactly. was a human that turned into something, just like a werewolf, just like, you know, Dracula. Just like technically mummies. I mean, he's just as magical and supernatural.
Yeah.
Right?
But I don't know if I find him, like, I wouldn't classify him as scary. Does he? I don't know much about the Invisible Man either. Does he kill people or is it like...
But Frankenstein's not scary either. He's just a big simpleton.
But he is scary to certain people.
You've not really read the book, have you?
No, I've only seen the movie.
And okay. Actually, if we want to...
He's like, I remember him being like Lenny from Of Mice and Men, like especially like that girl in the water scene. Like he just doesn't know what's happening. He just wants to love her so much and just.
Here's right? where we go with Frankenstein, because he's actually not called Frankenstein.
Well, he's Frankenstein's monster. All right, come on.
So he is a monster.
Okay.
So semantics aside, out of those five.
I felt like Brooks had a point about Frankenstein he wanted to get out real quick.
Well, I'm just saying that the book is far better than the movie.
Oh, I'm sure.
In terms of the fact that the monster in the book is
you get a his point vile, of view
yeah. vile creature at times
and you get into his thought process which you can't really do in the movie but
okay
there's a lot of existential crisis going on.
Well, plus at that time they really probably wanted to make it a little bit more approachable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean that was like the 30s, 40s,
50s.
And I'm not knocking Boris Karloff's representation at all. He's a great actor mm-hmm. for horror movies. One of my other favorite movies, The Raven, with Vincent Price and Boris Karloff in it, is pretty good. So,
well, let's focus. Let's tone this down. Tell me,
tone yourself down, Mile.
I'm going to ask you, Dryan, who is your favorite Universal monster?
My favorite is the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Very nice choice.
I kind of love it, and maybe it's the hipster choice because he's not the one anybody usually picks.
Spoiler, that's mine too.
No way!
I fucking love the creature from the Black Lagoon, man.
Awesome, yeah.
He's badass. I kind of enjoy the movie a lot too. It's not my favorite, but I really enjoy Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Agreed
so.
Wholeheartedly. Not my favorite movie, but...
It's a good movie, good character, good monster choice. It's a solid number two for me.
Okay. Very cool. So then what is yours?
So, ironically enough, given the choice, I had to go with the Wolfman.
Mm.
Part of that is, first of all, it was all Lon Chaney
of course,
Jr.
Yes.
in that. He was all the makeup, and his dad was famous for his... work with makeup and everything else, because he was the original Phantom of the Opera.
The pig-nosed Phantom of the Opera.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. The one that you see with the like the funny teeth and everything else.
And the pig-nose. Like.
And the pig-nose.
Yeah.
That gets mocked quite a lot in other movies. Yes. Gremlins 2, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
I love Gremlins 2.
But so part of that has to stem from the fact that I'm maybe a slightly romantic guy.
That's fair. Brian and I are both self-admitted romantics, too. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a tragic tragic movie, in a
way. I think of them, the Wolfman is probably my favorite of the original five.
Movie-wise?
Yeah, of the original five universe.
If you're not counting Bride of Frankenstein.
Which is yours.
Yeah.
Wolfman, I don't know, it's got this weird atmosphere to it that I don't think the others really grasp, maybe. They kind of, I don't know, that's just me, but I really like all the outside scenes with all the fog and the forest and
the
Wolfman.
The establishing shots.
Yeah, it ups the creep factor a little bit, so.
I really like it, too. So Wolfman is probably my favorite, but yeah, if I'm going just straight creature, it's definitely Black Lagoon, because it's just so fucking...
It's a great design.
Yes,
I just love the aesthetic of it so much.
Yeah, and it was the guy in the suit... he was a certified diver, and he could hold his breath for an ungodly amount of time, too.
He had to for those fucking...
Yeah, and he did the creature acting really well, so and could stand there for a while. And
what's great is like all those older creatures, too, that all their menace was just broken down to close-ups of them going... Arr! Arr!
Or they'd catch them and then fade to black.
It's pretty good creature noise.
Thank you. I've watched a lot of them and a lot of them many times. But yeah, and when they attack people, it's really like they grab a woman around the shoulders. And that's very menacing in the 50s. I mean, compared to what we have now and even compared to what the movie we're about to discuss, like, God, it's so tame. But people used to be terrified of these movies. I could see them giving nightmares to a degree. Like, dude, I'm fucking freaked out by Chucky, if I'm going to be honest here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Child's Play Chucky.
I mean,
yeah.
Fuck that. I still won't look at it.
You won't look at it? Like, no, you won't watch the movies?
Fuck no, man. Fuck that.
See, I was the opposite. Like, I think it was Child's Play 2 was out, and at the local video store, they had, like, a giant cutout, a cardboard standee, with, I think, the doll with a pair of scissors cutting somebody's head off.
It's not, it's a Jack in the Box.
Yeah, Jack in the Box.
Yes. Yeah. And it fucking wigged me out. And, like, I could not shake that image in my head. And, like, I just became obsessed. I was like, I have to see it. Terrified me. I saw all of them. I've now, like, kept up with the series, and they get really bad.
Oh, terrifying. But,
ridiculously
they're not even scary
bad
at this point, but no, I still won't watch them.
They embrace the comedy more so, and it's fine. It's what it is, but...
It's got a... Who's his girlfriend, too?
It's that dumb big
Jennifer Tilly.
Yes, okay.
Is the actress.
Jennifer Tilly.
Big boobs.
Yeah. And when I say dumb blonde, she's not... But man, that archetype that she is latched onto
she's the
dumb ditzy blonde.
It's,
yes.
It's like Stifler's mom. Like, that actress, Jennifer Coolidge.
She's not exactly... she's not exactly dumb, but she's so greedy, so self-serving. That it plays into the dumb archetype because she's always trying to advance in some way.
But no, like, I don't have a problem with clowns, but I can see people that watched It as children. Some of them
talks about that. Yeah.
But like, I saw It as a child and it didn't affect me that way, but I saw Child's Play as a kid too. And man, like, all dolls. What? Fuck dolls. I hate them.
Oh, God, yeah.
I remember staying at my grandmother's, and of course, my grandmother, the guest bedroom is just covered in dolls. And I remember just laying awake until I heard her go to bed, and then I would move out into the living room and sleep on the couch I would have to stay there.
I think everybody must have that story, because the same thing went to my Nana's. Room with shelves and shelves and shelves of dolls.
They're everywhere!
Went out, slept on the floor in the living room.
Can't do it.
See, Chucky didn't do that for me.
Really?
But what did do that for me was the original Poltergeist movie. The clown?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The clown.
So that's like double fold. That's clowns and dolls.
So clowns don't bother me. Dolls don't bother me, but clown dolls? That is terrifying.
That's what the trick is. Okay.
That's a perfect Venn diagram that's like, of what gets Brooks. It's
like, not clowns? Okay. Dolls? Okay. Mix them together? No.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Scary Movie 2 kind of... got that away from me a little bit, so.
Yeah.
And Scary Movie 2.
Let's talk about that again. Fucking, it's October, we're going to talk about Scary Movie 2.
Have we talked about
We talked about that too? Stupid little hand.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about
take my strong hand.
God damn it.
All right, it's like an ongoing gag at work for me, too.
Yeah. That movie, I don't know. It's awful, stupid garbage, but it's fun. We keep coming back to this. Fun garbage is still fun, even though it's garbage.
I agree. I play garbage. Dynasty Warrior games.
You do.
That's true. Fun garbage. That's not fun.
And everybody's garbage is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah. All right. Thanks,
I
Brooks.
Agree with
Thanks
that.
Thanks for bringing, for moderating, for bringing this level.
I feel
Here's
like
the thing.
I made that point. Like,
Scary Movie 2, though, man. It's got a super hot redhead.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't even know her name, but there's a scene where she's in her underwear, and I'm like...
Hey, that movie Drive has a super hot redhead in it.
Well, yeah, it's Christina Hendricks. I'll fucking name that all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I was just... You know, another reason sound engineer Andy should watch that movie.
And I'm not familiar with the sound engineer Andy. I know Andre.
Sound engineer Andre has been dead for 30 years.
The calls are coming from inside the house.
Oh, I lost my shit when I saw that trailer for the first time, the When a Stranger Calls remake.
Oh, okay.
And it was that exact line. I was like, oh my, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah, of course. I was speaking of incredibly stupid remakes, and what I guess I've learned this term recently, the soft reboot, which I guess technically I learned Star Wars Episode 7 is a soft reboot. But I've heard they're making a soft reboot of Gremlins, and I'm very upset about this.
Are you Ghostbusters soft reboot upset about this?
No, I mean, I just I think it's not going to be good.
Well,
it's,
who it's is behind it? Because if they bring Joe Dante back, it's going to be at least entertaining.
I don't think they are. I haven't heard anything.
Joe Dante's not just, doing anything.
So this is just kind of like movie. The internet rumor.
It's starting up. I've heard, though, that...
This is our new section of the show. Internet rumors that are unsubstantiated by anybody ever.
Yeah.
From Kyle. From and me. Mile.
I've heard it's happening. If it happens, mark my words, it'll be mediocre.
Name a movie that isn't That's mediocre fair. Nowadays.
Episode 7 was pretty fucking great.
Okay. Wait, what? Episode 7?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, are we just talking about soft reboots or just...
I'm
just
talking about movies in general coming out of Hollywood. Because
I'm talking Deadpool. About reboots.
There's, yeah. Well,
Civil War.
Mad Max.
Mad okay, Max Fury Road.
The Witch.
Okay, all right. I'm going to bow out of that one. I can see
the 10 Cloverfield Lane, technically.
We yeah. won't go there.
We won't, yeah.
You. I think you're on Ryan's side on
I,
that, right?
I am on Ryan's side for the most part. On that movie.
Oh, on 10 Cloverfield?
Yes.
Okay.
He said for the most part, he's going to give me props.
The end.
So, towards the end, then it kind of, I believe the phrase is jump the shark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, it's like,
I agree wholeheartedly, except I was just like fully on board. I was like, this is weird.
They should have continued with the movie as it originally planned, which is what I think happened. But then, you know, as soon as Abrams' name was attached to it and everything. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, we have to attach Cloverfield to it. And it's like, no.
Stop I'll it. Give it I'll give it a watch again.
You should
watch it
without until, expectations.
Yeah. Just no give it a watch. Expectations. And that's what happened. Because I did the same thing for Prometheus.
Oh, I loved Prometheus the first time. So I still love that movie.
I like it too. Great. I had friends of mine who had watched it. They were expecting an Aliens prequel. Like a direct thing. Like, oh, this is where the aliens come from. Little did they know, it's a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah.
Deep or horribly rote and convoluted.
Well, part of that we can thank fucking Lindelof for.
I don't disagree, and I like Lindelof.
I do too. And I give him a lot of leeway.
And
but man,
I don't like agreeing with you on that one because he had so much promise after Lost, but everything he's done since has been such a fucking
he also
mess.
Wrote one of my favorite Hulk books, but
which one was that? Was
Ultimate
that?
Wolverine versus Hulk.
Yeah,
great book.
That's true.
Great book. But it also took him like 4 years to write a 6-issue fucking comic book story.
That is what I remember. Yeah. Having the first 2 issues and the waiting years yes, for issue
it's
3.
So fucking awful. All right, so look, I want to get onto this movie. I really do. Because
this is the start to, you know, the Halloween, October. So we can talk a little bit.
Exactly.
About
so
this.
My last thing is just last night, I don't know if either of you have, but I started watching the Ash versus Evil Dead series on Stars.
I saw the entire first season.
Did you like it?
I haven't picked it up yet.
It's good, not great.
That's what
and then I, it that's, gets really great by the end.
That's my thoughts on the first. I really like the first one. Of course, it's a
Raimi.
Great fan service and all that.
Well, Sam
I've only
Raimi
seen the first
was,
episode.
Like, directly in yeah. charge of that first episode,
and then, so you can feel it. But it's also a bit silly. But again, that's where Evil Dead ended up, anyways. And I'm fine with that. I was just hoping, like, I enjoyed it. I just didn't know if it was gonna go it's, up or down. So I'm excited to hear that it's gonna go up.
This is like a very mild spoiler, but the whole arc of that first season is them getting back to the cabin.
Okay.
And then it goes into like this big nostalgia trip, like towards the end. It becomes like something really, really neat.
I have
and profound.
Really, really liked it.
And then it
so
ends
far.
On like a note where like, how the fuck are they gonna do a season 2? And they're doing it now. So like it's taking chances, it's making
okay, well,
cool
good.
Choices, and that's cool.
So I think the first season of that ended up on Netflix recently. So
did
it might be.
I don't know. So
Mandy so just recently got the Stars package on our Amazon Fire Stick. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. I know this is on here. I will watch this now. Yeah. So
it gets better. It's never okay, bad. Good. It's just
yeah, and I didn't get a bad vibe from it. I was enjoying myself. I just didn't know how it was gonna play out over 10 episodes. So
there are definitely some episodes that feel a little stretched out.
Okay.
And you're just like, well, this could have been, you know, 7-8 episodes instead of 10, but that's it.
Okay.
Otherwise it's solid.
Well, what do you guys think? You want to talk about this American Werewolf in London?
I mean, yeah, after this.
Exactly. We got a bump. I was getting to a bump. What is our bump going to be?
I just never know if you're going to do the bump, so I have to jump in now.
I've made conscious efforts lately, been like, hey, man, there's bumps here.
Hi, I'm the guest. What's the bump? What's the bump? What's the bump?
Yeah, what is the bump?
Bump with the bump, bump. That one. That song.
It could be any song. Well, that song doesn't have anything related to moons in it. So it's not from the movie. It does?
Mm-hmm. It's a rehash of Blue Moon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so is that the bump?
Yes.
I think it should be, because I think that's like the best song.
You kind of set it up.
It's so fun when it ends.
Yeah. It's either that one or the Clearwater Revival.
The Bad Moon Rising. Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Here's our bump, and it is whatever the name of that song that goes bump, 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 bump.
The one we're less likely to get copyright issues from, that one.
Probably still going to happen, but here we go.
You saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart. Dang it, dang, dang, ding it on. Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really do care for. And then there suddenly appeared before me the only one my arms would ever.
Blue moon. All right, so that was the
standing alone.
It's Blue Moon by, I'm gonna get this wrong, it's not Marcellus Wallace.
No, it's the
but Marcellus, does he look like a bitch?
I think is what it's called.
Thank you, Ryan. What'd you say, Brooks? Marcellus?
The Marcells.
Oh, the Marcells. I still prefer Marcellus Wallace. I wish he was singing.
Their
the
uniforms,
song.
They all have a Band-Aid
on the back of their neck.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
They all get carry briefcases.
Like that.
Yeah.
That shines. All right, man. Fucking American Werewolf in London.
Yes.
Let's get into this beast. This is, I just realized I said, let's get into this beast, and this movie is a beast movie.
Totally
it's
is.
It's about a monster. So, this is, all right, I think it's safe to say, outside of the Wolfman, this is the quintessential werewolf movie.
So, before I watched this again, for, I don't know how many times I've seen this now, but probably like my third or fourth time maybe as an adult, I did some Google searching. And it is in the top 10, if not the very top, of everybody's favorite werewolf movie.
I could absolutely easily see that. And I also didn't realize there are a shit ton of werewolf movies.
There are.
There's a whole fuckload. There's one called Moon with Jack Nicholson and Michelle Pfeiffer.
That is Wolf.
I did see that one.
Oh, it's just Wolf. Yeah. Wolf, yeah.
It's for some reason, it was always on Comedy Central.
That movie was on Comedy Central? What the fuck?
Yeah, that's how I saw it. It was on fucking Comedy Central broadcast when I was a kid.
That's now, so weird.
Yeah. American Werewolf in London I've seen on Comedy Central, but that's because it kind of crosses.
It is a comedy, yeah.
It crosses genres there. But Wolf, honestly?
Yeah.
All right, so before we get really into this, I would like to know, out of 10, what do you guys rate this movie?
What?
Yeah, before we get really into depth discussion on it, I want to know now.
That's an arbitrary number. I rate it 1, but that has nothing to do with my opinion.
What? You rate on the overall scale of werewolf and horror movies, you rate it as a 1?
I don't understand the point of the number system, but okay.
Because I just want to feel how you're going to rank it.
So, like
did you enjoy it?
As a werewolf movie or as a horror movie or as a
just
movie
just as a movie,
in general?
When you watched it and enjoyed it or did not enjoy it.
Can I not go first?
Sure.
All right.
Because I've got I would rank it at like a 7 or an 8.
Okay.
It's above mediocre, but I didn't think it was fucking fantastic. So it's pretty much right in the middle of that for me.
I see. You wanted to judge the scale of how much we liked it specifically. Because you are like, I liked it, but I didn't love it.
That's okay. If we're going to break it down. Yeah, I did like it a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I didn't. And I did it. I wouldn't say I loved it. But it's still, I see its place in its history, and I see all the things that it contributed to after this movie was made. So again, it's one of those like cornerstone movies. Like this movie had a massive influence on cinema as a whole. And I think movies that do that aren't necessarily always the greatest themselves, but the impact and influence they have later cannot be understated.
I agree with that point you made, but I don't feel it's applicable to this movie.
Okay, fair enough.
I do agree with your point.
Okay.
I mean, I want to let Brooks go ahead.
Yeah, so I rate this at a very, very solid 8.5 to almost 9 for myself. Okay. Granted, part of that may be nostalgia. I grew up watching this movie. It'd be on our local Channel 4 era every so often on a Friday night. And we'd sit down and we'd catch it. I mean, every time it comes on, it's one of those movies. And that's kind of how I rate this in terms of enjoyability, is if it's on TV, am I going to turn the channel to it?
Or are you going to turn the channel away from it? I guess more importantly.
Yeah. So it's like, okay this
like
is
like if
on.
You're channel surfing, you're like, oh, American Werewolf in London,
I'm going to watch this.
Fair enough.
So there's several movies that
Ryan,
fit that category.
How many times have you seen this movie?
Now, probably like 6 or 7.
Because this, all right, so I'm easily in the minority. This was only the second time I've ever seen this movie. Okay. I saw it as a kid with my mom.
I saw it several times as a kid, which we talked about slightly beforehand.
But it was interesting watching it again. Maybe that's why I'm coming at it at a different angle, because this is only the second time, and I've seen it now as an adult compared to when I was 8.
I don't know. I think it's ignorant to say, like, well, you have not seen it that much. Like,
yeah,
it's a movie where, like, you watch it 10 times and then you
I think it's going to give me a different viewpoint from you guys, because you both
That's fine.
Have
maybe a little. I mean, I don't want to discredit your opinion by saying, like, well, you've just not seen it enough to.
Fair enough,
to,
yeah. Like, really I think I have a firm grasp and understanding of this film and what it understands.
So I think your opinion is valid, very valid.
So, Brooks, I guess first and foremost, I mean, both of the movies we're going to watch this month are your recommendations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, what is it about American Werewolf in London? That was a mushmouth. Werewolf.
Werewolf. How many Andres have you had?
I've had 2.5 Andres, and this is my second beer.
How many Andres have you had?
Andres? I've had Andre every day of my life.
Oh,
yeah.
That's my boy right there, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Pound it. Oh,
sound
I think you did.
Andy.
All right, so,
Hashtag ignorant.
What is it about this movie that really stands out to you?
So, as a kid, what stood out to me is I had a big thing for, as my my Universal monster movie kind of guess, I have a big thing for werewolves.
Yep.
I soft-natured guy at heart, typically. And I just have a thing for tragic characters. As an adult, I see more in this movie now. It paved the way for special effects as we know it.
Exactly. That's my big thing with it. Like,
that's one of the big takeaways from it. The acting between at the very beginning between the two main characters, David and Jack, are the two main characters. Is organic feeling.
See, go ahead, Ryan.
I want to stop on that, because that's like one of the first things, like when rewatching this as an adult for the first time, that I loved was like they have that back and forth, and then there's like a really bad joke that I think Jack says, and
the knock knock joke,
his shit.
Yeah,
like he laughs, and it's like it's not an actor laugh, like it is like a legitimately like laugh, like he can barely even talk, and I was like, that's so real.
I watched this on DVD maybe like 10 years ago, and they have a commentary between David Naughton and Griffin Dunn, the two main actors.
Thank you for mentioning that, because I don't know their names.
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember correctly, that they were just kind of bantering back and forth. It was kind of like a free flow.
I did read that was a genuine, authentic laugh. He was caught off guard on that joke. And
it feels like it. It makes you... It grounds the movie, and it makes you really like
and
feel
I'm
for
I'm
both of those.
And I'm invested in those characters at this point. It's like these two guys are two college students, I'm assuming, that are on a European tour, as some college students do. Because later on, you hear the one guy complaining about meeting this girl in Rome.
Coming off of the heels of Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, it's nice again. One of my big enjoyments of that movie is that the relationship between Harold and Kumar is it's really genuine. You feel that they're friends. They're not just hamming it up. And that you get that same feeling in this movie. Like, mm-hmm. these two guys are lifelong great friends, if not best friends.
I would argue, and I think I even liked Harold and Kumar more than you did, but I'd argue it's more real in American Werewolf than in Harold and Kumar.
Yeah, I think that's more because maybe this is more of a drama comedy, mm-hmm. whereas Harold and Kumar is a dumb stoner comedy.
Where which instead of the real,
it's not as important.
It's not like, let's punch it up with this punchline or this joke. It feels more.
And Harold and Kumar, there's no danger.
Yeah,
in this one, you're more attached.
There was a chance they were not going to get White Castle and have tacos instead.
They could have maybe gotten rabies and had to get seven.
What
shots
is more
in the
dangerous
stomach?
Than that? That's true.
But no, all right, so. It starts off really slow,
yeah.
which I think is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, I use this term loosely, in the general public don't like a slow burn movie. I am of the opposite aspect of that. I like a slow burn where things build to a crescendo.
Hashtag Drive. Hashtag the witch.
Yes. rather than, you know, a lot of movies now follow the rule of the 20-minute mark. Something interesting has to happen at the 20-minute mark or else people start to check out. And that starts to make movies more formulaic. I don't like formulaic. It works great in some aspects.
I like a curveball thrown at me every once in a while. It's like, okay.
I'll actually argue with you a little bit because I think this movie follows that. Because like in 20 minutes, you get the werewolf attack by that point.
Okay,
and then
I will agree with you.
Another 20 minutes, you get the transformation, and then in another 20 minutes,
is it
you get
20
that.
Minutes within that he does the
transformation?
Like I thought it was a long time between the bite and the actual transformation.
I think it's like 50 minutes in. So if like, it's really close.
Because this isn't a very long movie. So
it's like 90 minutes.
It does move. Mm-hmm. It does move fast paced for a horror movie, I think. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's not hindered by that in the same way some horror movies are. It's not gimped. You get everything within the time frame. I think this movie's like 76 minutes long or something. Like, no.
I thought it was 90. Sure.
It's 90 minutes, an hour and a half.
Yeah, so 90 minutes long, and it seems to achieve everything it was meant to achieve. I will say that there's one thing I didn't necessarily like about the movie. I'm watching again. It's like,
yeah. Let's dive into that now. Let's get this out of the way. What is it that you didn't like?
So the
because I have a couple, but
the ending of the movie.
Okay, very
was
good. Yeah,
very abrupt.
Yes.
So it's just like, spoiler alert.
Ryan's gonna have disagreements already. I agree.
But I can see some viewpoints, but for me, the way. It's like all of a sudden, they shoot the werewolf. You see the nurse there crying, and then all of a sudden there's David's body there. And it's like, and then all of a sudden, end credits music, back to the bumper music for us. So, but it felt abrupt. But
I'm not saying
it's a hindrance of the movie, but
so
it's
I'm
something
with you
that,
here. But I want to hear Ryan's thoughts here.
What? Right. So, I am up for the rebuttal, sir.
My number, I would give it first, would be probably a 9 or 9.5.
Wow, okay.
Like,
that's
I'm
really
surprised
high.
That I was higher than you, because this is a movie you brought up, and I was like, yeah, I like that movie, whatever, but, like, it's not one, like, I watch over and over again, like, I would The Thing, I've seen every 2 years.
Spoiler alert, Thing is the other movie we're going to talk about, and Thing is my all-time absolute favorite horror movie. I'm going to go home and watch it
like
tonight.
Jaws, I've got to see, like, every certain amount of years, but, like, this was never one of those movies.
Which Jaws movie are we talking?
The first Jaws. Only the first one.
You're not talking the Revenge, right?
Or Jaws 3D?
Is that
3D?
The one where it follows her around? Yeah, that one. That's the best. No. But this was just like a movie that like I remember from my childhood like loving and then just not revisiting. And going back to it, like I fell in love with this movie hard.
Really? Okay, good.
I think it's a damn near perfect movie. And like the things hindering it, I think, are like the budget and like the scope. Like we'll talk about my nitpicks later. Not important right now. But if we're talking about the end, like this whole movie feels like it's ahead of its time because it's so like punk rock in its editing and its aesthetic. And like there isn't a more perfect example of that than the ending where it is just like fucking character dies. crying credits. It feels almost like Death Proof or like a Tarantino movie that just like doesn't fucking care about like your standard narrative. It is just, that's the end of our story. That's it. We don't need this 10-minute wrap up, wind down of see who all the other characters, like, let's go to the nurse and see how she feels now and let's see how they deal with it. Like, fuck it. We don't need that. Like, we got the important stuff out. And this is like a very confident, very, like I said, it's like very punk rock ending. It's just like, that's it.
Spoiler alert, the nurse is pregnant at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. I like the ending. I don't like the 10 minutes leading up to the ending.
Oh my God, that's some of the best stuff.
I will say that that's an
incredible
scene. That it was a fantastic scene leading up to it.
Yeah, I forgot how big it is.
It is very big, but it's like, what the fuck is going on? There's this massive 30-car pileup in the middle of Piccadilly Circus.
Well, would you rather the bus try to run over the wolf? I mean,
yeah, or something. Well, I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, what do you want? Like a quiet, introspective ending? Like, I love this big, bombastic. Like,
I mean,
look at this shit. Look at the chaos that this decision he made caused. Like, this is what happens. It's like the butterfly effect. It spirals into this big fucking
butterfly effect. Spoilers for
we're not like fuck that movie. Like,
I'm not talking about butterfly. I take it you haven't started our horror video game. For this
no, not
month.
Yet.
Okay.
Not yet, no. I'm going to start I'll tonight
just,
with Laura.
I'll just stop there.
I think I already know what it is, and then so far I played a few little bit of it, and it is a fantastic game and one of my favorite takes on a legend.
So. Okay, cool. So...
All right, cool. That gives me hope.
Here's my thing. Like, all right, so this overarching chaos that it creates is weird to me because outside of, like, a few suspect people... Most people would think this is like a dog or a wild animal in the middle of the city. Like, some people are flipping the fuck out.
Wild it's animal, I'll really give you. Big one. Dog, I'm not going to give you that one.
A dog or
unless
a wolf.
I mean, it's unless you're talking a Tibetan Mastiff, I think is the only thing that could compare in
it
size.
It is a wolf. I mean, it walks. And that was a decision that John Landis really pushed, that he wanted it to be quadrupedal instead of bipedal, which Rick Baker really wanted to do.
Fantastic decision, I think, in this case.
I would disagree. I would lean more towards Rick Baker. I would have liked to have seen more of a bipedal werewolf that can alternate between the two, which comes into effect... An American Werewolf in Paris.
I don't know. I've not seen the sequel, but I know it can't.
You've
live
never
up to the
ever
first
seen
first
it?
One. So, and I feel like you're gonna love it. And
my
like, I can't.
Thought on the sequel is for in terms of the actor choices and actress choices, it's not bad in that regard. The plot isn't even that bad. The problem I couldn't get over is that they forego the generic your special effects for CGI.
For CGI.
Not good CGI either, because it was like when that movie came out, like the late 90s. Like, and it was like the trend, everything needs to be CGI, and it's...
And that is the big downfall of American Werewolf in Paris. I absolutely agree with that. But here's the thing, and I'm going to get ripped to shreds. I personally like Paris better than London.
I can't talk to you.
you haven't seen Paris.
I know it's going to be a 310 Cloverfield Lane or like a Batman versus Superman where it's just we are diametrically opposed. And I know it's going to be that.
But
and
here's
I
the
never
thing.
Want to see it.
I am not saying London is bad. I really like London too, and I will probably concede that Paris for a big part of me is
nostalgia
because I watched Paris a lot as a kid, whereas you guys watched London.
When was the last time you saw in Paris?
And Paris was probably again Pilot Wings era, like 5-6 years ago. Okay. I do own this movie.
You're playing Pilot Wings 5 years ago?
I played Pilot Wings that we just played like 5 or 6 years
really?
Ago.
Really?
Oh yeah.
In the 2000s?
Oh yeah. I love Pilot Wings on Super Nintendo.
If you didn't know, Kyle's a big nostalgia gamer, I know.
Yeah, I like...
It's on the record. He has played it within 5 years. He's practiced. He's good. That's why he's winning.
I think...
He's like, these are my games that I love.
I think I said that on the episode we recorded.
You may have. I was really drunk.
You probably did. You probably were. But anyway, here's the thing. I totally admit that it might be nostalgia, but I don't think Paris is a bad movie. I don't know.
I've not seen it.
I would really like to break that one down with both of you guys because of the fact that it does tie into this one. It has the same lore, which I really like. It totally plays with the lore of this one. And what I really I don't know much about a lot of other werewolf movies, but this one I like the fact that people that are killed by the werewolf come back and haunt that werewolf.
They're stuck
and
in
limbo. That plays into Paris as well.
It haunts the werewolf in human form, too. Yes. Like, this is what you're doing.
And I really like the fact
carnivorous lunar activities.
So, breaking it into this, goddamn, the fucking special effects in this movie are fantastic.
Agreed.
Thank you, Rick Baker.
The transformation scene is one of my favorite.
It is maybe the most iconic special effects scene
And the reason is because no other werewolf transformation scene makes it seem like it's agonizing like this one does. Like, you know, one scene he's just sitting there reading a book. All of a sudden, you know, you
can
cut.
Can I do it? Can I do it?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
I tried to get away from the mic, sound engineer Andrew. It's completely out of nowhere. Yeah, and
it's out of nowhere. And as a pan, as it cuts to a different camera off, you know, back a little bit, you see that he's just all of a sudden broken out in the sweat and everything, and it just rips off all his clothes and everything else. And it's just like, man, changing to a werewolf can really, it's really painful. And he's just sitting there agonizing. I didn't mean to call you Meatloaf.
That's a good line. That's the one I really, really cracked up at when I heard it again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, again, crossing that genre barrier a little bit. Again,
that whole transformation, all of... So his friend, who's the friend that dies? That's not
Jack.
Jack. So as Jack goes on, he becomes more and more decomposed every time he visits David. And I love that aspect of it too. He just gets worse and uglier, and it's... Again, it's fantastic makeup work.
Well, the werewolf transformation alone, like, you got to think, like, how many different levels of prosthesis they had to use. Like, this is for the first phase of the transformation. Then they had to make a whole separate costume for the second. And there's, like, 10 phases that he goes through. It's just so much work and so incredible that they did it. Nowadays, they just wouldn't even fucking care. They'd just be CG, it's easy, done. But,
all right, so I know Brooks.
Like Van Helsing, just werewolves ripping out of people.
I want to come into this. So, okay, so I love practical special effects more than any. All right, so of course, Rick Baker was lead in this movie. He left another werewolf movie to come take over this movie called The Howling.
I never saw The Howling, but I've heard.
But here's the thing. When he left The Howling, he left his assistant in charge of werewolf special effects there. That assistant would go on to work on The Thing, tying this all in to what we're going to work on.
Do you know that assistant's name?
I can't think of it now, and I feel like an asshole.
It's okay.
Because I know that he had a ridiculous work ethic on The Thing, because that was the first time he broke away from Rick Baker and started as his own name. He worked 7 days a week, like 12 to 14-hour days every day for 3 months, and then immediately checked into a hospital for exhaustion. After the thing finished.
Yeah.
And it shows because
it does.
The practical effects on The Thing are they fucking blow this movie away. Like
The
big thing in this movie is that transformation scene.
Well, it's a different I don't think it's fair to say they blow it away because it's a different subject.
Fair enough. Okay. Yes.
I'm going to say that the practical effects in both movies are top notch.
Absolutely. I'm not denying
any of them. And still hold up very well to this day.
I would say top three practical effects. You're talking The Thing, you're talking American Werewolf in London, and you're talking maybe, I think, The Fly by Cronenberg.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, those are top three practical effects.
If you
of all
go
time.
On any, you search YouTube now for special effects top 10. American Werewolf in London is number one on like 90%
for like werewolf scenes.
Particularly not even just practical effects in general. It is one of the most iconic special effects, and that's again what I think is the biggest highlight of this movie is the impact that it had on movies going forward too.
Sure, I go back to like the tone being so just different and flippant, like with
very
regards
punk
to like
rock.
The horror
I like
combat.
That.
So
that's a very good
so
description.
Segue into that. A good scene that describes that perfectly is when towards the end where Jack calls him into the porno theater.
Yep.
And then they sit down. There's that porno on the background. The big burly guy busts in as the two people are making out. And you know he's like, "Hey, I told you never to do that again." And it's like the guy said, "I've never met you before in my life." And the other lady says something similar. He's like, "Oh, okay." And he just turns around and walks out. And then David leans over to Jack, you know, his skeleton friend. He's like, "Good movie."
Yeah.
It's like I sat there and watched that. I watched this movie twice this weekend.
Nice.
One for to get my nostalgia out
really,
of the way.
Really, both of you watched it twice. I only watched it the one time.
Well, I think I probably can speak for Ryan in this one too, but I had to get my nostalgia out of the way.
Okay.
Before I analyze this movie, I was like, I need to watch this for pure enjoyment first. Then I'm going to go back and watch it again for...
Yeah. Mine was flipped. Like, the first time I was watching it with my critic glasses, and then, like, the next day at work, I was like, I kind of just want to watch that movie again. It was really fun. Like, let me put that on.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. I like it.
But, like, speaking to the comedy, like, the one that really got me that, like, I completely forgot about is, like, when the two, David and Jack, like, are hitchhiking, they get to the slaughtered lamb, and everybody's just like very.
I love the slaughtered lamb scenes, all of them.
And then there's like this big long joke that happens, and like in the middle of the laughing, like they're all talking about like what's that pentagram on the wall? Like what's that? Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
And just they're in the middle of like everybody's laughing, and I think Jack just goes like, "Ha! What's that on the wall?"
Yeah.
And just like that delivery kills me.
Yeah. So another bit, I don't know if you recognize the actor that was telling the joke. I think his name was Anders in Alien 3.
Oh, no, really?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was the head prison guy.
Okay.
The
head prison guy that wasn't the black guy.
Right. Mm, yeah, okay. He was the British one.
Oh, that makes all the fucking sense in the
world. I think he's a comedian as well.
Really?
Huh.
So
I really liked all the slaughtered lamb scenes. I like
those were fantastic.
Those the two travelers going there and then the doctor revisiting it later. It's such an air of uncomfortableness, mm-hmm. which the movie captures perfectly. It's something
well, it's a you kind of right, that, it's that expat like person traveling. Yeah. It's that
but even
weirdness
with,
you do feel when you're traveling
with
in different countries.
The doctor goes there. He still gets that same feeling.
So. The way I understand it is that they were dealing with this werewolf problem for a while. And they didn't want any outside interference because they was like, well, they'll all think we're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, you know, if you got back to the doctor said that he experienced that town had some sort of mass psychosis going on or something, mass hysteria that explains why David thinks he's a werewolf. It turns out that he is, but mm-hmm. you know.
So I want to talk about two other things that really stick out to me about this movie. And the first one is probably the one thing, my biggest complaint with the movie as a whole. And it's the one thing I don't enjoy. This could be entirely me totally silly nitpicking. And I want you guys
to
tell me. I think this has possibly the unsexiest sex scene I've ever seen in my life.
Laura and I talked about this.
Okay. Talk to me about it, please. I want to hear your thoughts.
I agree.
Yeah.
And Laura said it's like a 70s porno where it just feels weird and awkward and not quite right. And
I've
it's not
seen a
shot
lot of
70s well.
Porno.
And
yeah.
It's just.
It's there's. It's
ironically,
not,
there was one playing in the movie theater scene.
There was.
Which also.
Awkward.
Landis directed itself. That movie was totally made for this movie.
Oh,
porno?
That's funny. It's not real porno.
No, it's not real at all. He made that entirely for this movie. So that's why I kind of like that aspect.
Yeah.
But that porno is better than the sex scene they show in this movie. So fucking just weird and not natural, I guess.
Goes on for
way too
such
long.
A long
way
time. Long. Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that. That's not a...
And then
it's not enough
to
like stick it like it's not like a thorn
it's
in
not
my
bad.
Side.
Exactly. It doesn't. It's
I
not
noticed
bad.
That too.
It's
I was
nothing,
like, huh.
But it's just it's one that stuck out to me on watching it. I was like,
that's fair.
That's weird.
That's fair.
The other one, and I think this is personally my favorite scene of the entire movie, is the guy on the train as he's getting chased by the werewolf. Mm. There's one scene where he's at the top of the escalator and you see the werewolf just start to come into frame. That is the fucking best scene in the
literally
movie.
Yes. As we were, as you guys were talking, I was like, well, I don't have to talk the rest of this episode, but I have to say that scene on the escalator.
I wish that was
masterfully shot.
That and the scene of the transformation would have been all they showed the werewolf.
So
all of the other shit takes away from it.
From
I don't agree with that.
From the perspective of watching this when I was a kid, obviously they had to edit a lot of stuff down.
Yeah.
For that, so you didn't get to see a whole bunch of the other people getting killed, and that always threw me for a loop when I was younger because I've always caught it on TV every so often. Then I watched this again. I was like, oh, so this is where the other dead people come from.
Ah.
But they always show that subway scene.
And it's
so good. You see the wolf just walking up slowly towards the end of it, but you don't actually see the attack, and I think it's just so well done.
I would say him running in the warped tunnel is beautiful alone. And then
that whole segment, pulled back
escalator and like just in like maybe 10% of the frame do you see the werewolf. It's so small, but
the
like
best part, man. That's so my good. Favorite it's, part of this movie.
It's like Hitchcock. Like it's done so fucking well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that I'm gonna give it is it gives probably this movie in particular has probably one of the most iconic werewolf howls, I think.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. I was gonna say that.
It is really, really good.
It is the best werewolf howl. It sticks out. It is so iconic, so unique. It is not just a werewolf howl. It is something different.
It's not like a wolf howl.
Exactly.
It's something that, like, what is out there?
Yeah.
Like, it's bone chilling.
It works really fucking well. Thank you. Because that was one of my few notes that I had, too, was that wolf howl was just... God, it's something that just sticks with you and makes you feel weird when you hear it.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, another thing that sticks with you is the soundtrack choices for this movie.
Yeah.
Everything, like starting off with the slower version of Blue Moon, you know, going into, was it Moon Dance? I can't remember.
During the
awkward sex scene. And then, another version of Blue Moon, and then Bad Moon Arising.
Every song in the soundtrack
it's related to moons. And I'm
surprised Werewolves of London did not.
That
pop
got
up.
Brought up in the commentary on did DVD it? Between David Naughton and Griffith Dunn, because it was like, why didn't they get this? And I assume it probably had to do with budget issues at the time.
It was just too expensive for them.
Probably too expensive to get that song. But yeah, it would have fit in well.
Yeah,
with this movie as well.
So perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going to say that all the other, choices were fairly spot on as well.
Agreed.
Well, I like them. I thought, again, me coming at it from a not nostalgia angle, I thought it was honestly, it gets a bit silly as they continue. It's like
I agree, but I think that's the point.
Yeah,
it's
a horror comedy. It toes it very well. I think it doesn't take itself too seriously. But at times when it's supposed to be, it does really well. When David realizes that he killed 6 people that previous night and he tries to get himself arrested and he just, you can just tell he's a desperate character at this point. And he tells Alex, the nurse, like, I love you. And it's just like you can tell the desperation. I mean, at the time I thought, it still holds up very well. I think his acting in that particular scene.
In that scene. The only negative for this movie is David's acting leaves me very cold.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, it's touch and go.
I think like John Landis was like, can you show your butt? And like all of the good actors were like, no, I don't want to show my butt that much. I don't want to show my butt in Bush. But this guy was like, I can do it.
You totally see this dude hang dong.
You see a little bit more than that.
Here's the funny thing. So in the movie, he's supposed to be Jewish. Total dude was not cut at all.
Oh.
That's a big
thing.
That
is a plot hole there.
Yeah, he's
because
totally
they specifically mention the circumcision. Yeah. Not necessarily that he's Jewish, but they specifically say he is circumcised.
The captain mentioned he was Jewish.
Yeah, they mentioned he's Jewish too.
They say, he's Jewish. And it's like, how do you know? Well, he's
snipped. I checked.
They say it's a modern thing. You don't have to be Jewish to
Fair
do that
enough.
Now.
But yeah, Captain totally has his hat in this movie.
That's...
He's a totally
that is actually that's a that. Very good catch.
So that's what
like, that's worth this whole podcast.
That's what that's John Landis was catch. Very careful to not get like focus shots on the wiener. I guess
you it see was it an in, action shot.
You see, yeah, in action and in passing, but yeah. So there we go.
That's man, hilarious.
We end up talking about that. Dicks a lot on this show. And I'm fine with it.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I originally wanted Cocktober, but that didn't plan out.
We'll, mean, yeah. Next year, we'll do Cocktober. We'll talk about all
nah,
the
I portos. Like the horror movie aspect much
we'll
better.
Watch, we'll watch every mainstream movie that has a penis in it.
That's easy. It was getting video games a dick. That was the hard thing.
I don't know if there are any.
That's where we were at. That was the issue.
I mean, I'll look at
dumb like it, like Saints game. Row. You have the censored dick hanging, but that's about as close as I can think of.
Metal Gear Solid 2, Raiden's covering everything.
Custer's Revenge.
You maybe see a dick.
You see dick, but it's like 8-bit dick, so it's just like 4 pixels.
That's so
pretty good for 8-bit.
I mean, I guess
true. We're getting half the screen. That's that dick.
We're getting off track here. Do you guys have anything else to say about the movie? Like,
I think I have to answer Ryan's questioning as to why I rated this lower than him.
Yeah.
So it has to do with the fact that I have quite a good list of movies that, and the way I rate them is like, is this something I'm going to turn the TV to if I see it on? And that list is actually fairly long. That's why it's kind of rated, and I will lean this a little bit more towards a 9, but
okay,
but it's somewhere in between that 8.5-9 range. So
I would ask you personally, because after watching it again this time as an adult, I honestly would consider it in my top 5 horror movies of all time.
I will agree with that.
That's why I want to see where you kind of fall on that.
I wouldn't put it in top 5. I did enjoy it still, and here's the other. Mark for it. It did pass the Mandy test.
Okay.
It's something we haven't talked about for a while, but I did watch this with Mandy, and Mandy really enjoyed it. She's like, that was actually really fucking good.
That's Laura does not do horror, does not like it, does not really.
Yeah, my wife's the same way.
There's a few. Like, she, for some reason, enjoyed The Babadook, but, like, other than that, like, not much. And this was one she was like, that was really good.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, awesome, good. I'm glad you liked it.
It is a good movie. It still holds up, like, 30-ish years later.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to show my wife because she watched The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox.
That movie's amazing.
It's amazing. I love The Frighteners. She said it was great. And same thing about Tremors. I finally got her to sit down and watch Tremors, too.
The original Tremors. All of them else.
Tremors 2 is fun. It's not great, but it's fun.
Okay,
it's fun.
Okay,
I've watched all the Tremors
movies. We'll get into that one later with Brooks later on. Yes,
but my wife has watched both those movies, and she says those really test the threshold of her willingness to watch scary movies. So she said they
watch The Thing with her.
That one's strictly me in the basement with the surround sound.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
on that one, and it's just like that one's going to be me solo, lights off, and everything.
So here's the thing: for The Thing, I am, as soon as we leave here, I'm going to go watch it. I'm going to watch it with Casey for his very first time.
What?
So I'm planning Casey does not like anything.
Sorry, sound
scary.
Engineer Andy, I'm going to apologize for that one.
He hates horror, he hates scary. So he's going to watch it for the first time.
Why are you making him do this? You're a horrible friend.
No, he wants to come on too and talk
this
about
is not
it with
horrible
us.
This is not horrible friend territory. This is great friend territory.
Because The Thing is one of the all-time
because
greats.
It is I am completely in a completely astonished that Casey has never watched that movie.
Dude, Casey has never seen anything scary. He doesn't play scary games, he doesn't watch scary movies. This is like his.
I understand.
I've not really gotten to know Casey that well. I mean,
Laura has not done any movie horror wise. So like, it's cool. We got together and I was like, "You've not seen The Thing? Awesome! You've not seen American Werewolf in London? Awesome!"
So
like,
Laura has not seen The Thing yet either, right?
She has. Okay. I made her watch it maybe 2 or 3 years ago, right before the remake came out.
Prequel, not remake.
That's right. It is a prequel. It comes right before the movie. Oh, that's right.
So bad.
It's not.
I haven't
horrible.
Actually watched the prequel yet.
It's,
so
it's fine.
I am going to.
It's not good. It's not bad. It's fine.
So this is how I'm going to. This is how I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going
right
to actually watch the prequel before I watch the original.
It'll give you a better appreciation.
That's the sole reason, because I've heard the same thing. But at the same time, I also want to see what leads up to that movie as well. I'm big on backstory.
There's some legitimately interesting ideas. The CG ranges from good to really bad. I like the ideas
So we're not going to focus on that, so I would rather talk about it now and rather than
that
solely,
prequel?
Rather than solely the actual episode of The Thing we're going to talk about. With the prequel of The Thing, they did all these amazing practical special effects you can watch on YouTube, and they fucking shit them all up on CG.
It was just like the Silent Hill movie. Silent Hill movie had such great practical effects, and then they're like, let's put some CG molten lava coming out of his nipples.
Because it's
that's
so cool. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. No. Fucking stop it! Give me my practical effects. When CG is good is when you don't notice CG.
And one of the things I'm liking right now with some of the movies coming out, Force Awakens, Mad Max Fury Road was fantastic about this, but there seems to be a callback to practical effects.
It's practical effects,
and they do them
aided
well
by CG, not a reliance on CG.
Like, and again, the best example is Fury Road. Yeah. I mean, because they played that back. They watched half. I think it's like 90% of the movie, 95 maybe, is
it's
practical
mostly just
effects.
Like background effects.
The only thing that was like really heavy
of wires.
Yeah, the most heavily special effect thing that they did CGI wise was that tornado scene, the dust storm.
Yeah, yep. That's right.
And that was it. And it's like the rest of it, because they watched a cut of it without the effects and. It's the same movie.
You know what other movie also relied on practical effects? Pitch Perfect 2, which beat Fury Road, and it's fantastic. Like, it's incredible.
I've not seen either of the Pitch
Fat
Perfect.
Fat Amy looks so real.
It does have...
It's crazy.
What is the main girl in that?
Anna Kendrick.
God, I love Anna Kendrick.
Really? She's like bland pixie, pixie dream girl. I fucking hate her. She can
I'm
jump off a cliff.
I'm usually not all about manic pixie dream girl, but fuck, yeah, on Anna Kendrick, I'm all on it. So,
that's
I think we've reached the apex here.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Just, my one thing here is, would you recommend American Werewolf in London to the casual person who has not seen it? Ryan?
Are they into horror?
Doesn't matter. Just to a casual person.
Yes. To anybody I talk to, I would recommend it. But I don't talk to dummies.
Brooks?
To anybody who has not seen this movie, do yourself a favor. It's on Amazon Prime right now. If you have
$3.
That. Yeah. Or if you have a Prime account, you can watch it free.
You probably buy on DVD for $5.
Yeah.
Too.
Actually, like, Walmart does have it on DVD for $5.
There you
I
go.
Saw that
Thank
the
you.
Other day.
Thank you, Brooks.
It's like right at the entrance, too. So
we might need to give you like a permanent fact checker role
on this show. I have. Right. My wife tells me that I have this mind trap for unusual and practically worthless facts and trivia.
That's like the price of American Werewolf on DVD currently.
Yeah.
It's $5.
It's like $4.99.
Oh,
exactly.
The market's down. It's going up. It's down to $4.50.
And also,
Walmart, it's $5. At Best Buy, it is $6.99. I say go Walmart.
Yep. And also, they also have all the Universal movies out again.
Of course. So, it's Halloween right now.
Yeah, so, and I am actually missing the Creature from the Black Lagoon from my.
Go pick that shit
up.
Yeah,
so I've got to get that one.
Creature,
and,
bro.
Yeah. I'm going to sandwich that one.
Oh, so, cool. I would also say, yeah, you should watch this movie, again, based on its place in historical context of film. This movie influenced almost everything you watch now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If not directly, indirectly for sure.
Yep.
It has a place in cinema history. It is a fantastic movie. Again, I'm not... Just because I say I like Paris better, I fully admit a lot of it is probably nostalgia. That's not taking away from London. London was a great movie. I would totally watch London again right now and enjoy it. It's a great movie. I look forward to maybe watching it again for the third time. I enjoyed it my second time. So that's really all I have to say. I had another point that I totally forgot at this point, so whatever. If it comes up again, sure. But
let's do it in another episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about Bugsy 3D, and then you'll be like, American Werewolf.
Oh, this is a great reference to this. It comes back in a
Brooks,
line theory.
I hope that if nothing else, your return to our show brings about the massive popularity of our first episode. You were fucking all over that episode. That episode was, bar none, our most popular. I fucking love it. And well, I look forward to having you back. Yeah. I think it may be like 2 weeks to talk about The Thing, spoiler alert. And that gives anybody listening now a chance. You should watch The Thing right fucking now before we talk about it. Because yeah. I'm not going to beat around the bush. The Thing is my favorite horror movie of all time.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch that one along with... There's three other movies that John Carpenter did around that time. It was that he calls his Apocalypse Trilogy.
Yeah.
What else is counted in that?
I think Escape from New York.
No.
It's not?
Actually, no. It's three movies that pertain to kind of an end-of-the-world scenario.
They Live?
Does that count? No, that one's not one of them. The other one is The Prince of Darkness.
Oh, yeah. That's I've seen that.
I have not.
It's got Alice Cooper.
There was one.
It's really weird. It's good, though. Yeah.
There's one in the 90s called, I can't remember the name
I know.
Of it.
Is it Sam Neill?
Yes, Sam Neill.
It's In the Mouth of Madness.
That's yes, it, yes.
That's a
fantastic
those are
three movies that he
did. Sam Neill movies, horror movies. In the Mouth of Madness and Event Horizon, both top level for me.
Yeah, so these
I don't
are,
know if top five, but.
So yeah, I haven't watched.
Top five, but I agree.
You're I haven't really watched The Prince of Darkness or In the Mouth of Madness yet.
Ever so, in your life?
Ever in my life.
All right, so even not barring Halloween, I want you to come back and talk about those. Because
at the very least for Prince of Darkness, yes, I've not seen that either.
I would love to do that, yeah. But I love both of those movies. Prince of Darkness and Mouth of Madness are both really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they're John Carpenter's, so.
Yeah,
that's establishing it even after October. We're gonna get these back. So
I think at some point we should probably have a John Carpenter podcast because there's several.
That's the thing we've thrown around is focusing on one director for like a month or something. It might happen.
We can do it.
Yeah,
I've got ideas.
Yeah, I know we all
my
have
ideas.
Ideas
always pan out.
You know,
my ideas
I'll
go
get
off
behind,
Kubrick,
I'll get behind. I'll get behind the.
That's just me.
I'll get behind the no, John Carpenter one because some of my favorite fun to watch movies are John Carpenter movies.
John Carpenter, if I think about it, is maybe my favorite director. But
yeah.
of all time,
I don't know, man. He's up there for sure. He's
no.
I like everything he's done. I also really like.
Well, have you seen Ghosts of Mars?
Yes, and that's terrible.
Have you seen? It's not They Live. What's The Ward? Is that John Carpenter? That one?
Know.
Right before he passed away, sadly. His last one's like really bad.
Everybody has turds, though, man.
He has a few turds. I think he's pretty hit and miss as a director.
All the greats have turds, man. It doesn't matter.
Well, I mean,
Kubrick has
shits.
Turds. Yeah.
Everybody shits.
Everybody has turds. But anyways, Brooks, I want to end. Thank you, man, again, for just fucking coming back. Thank you for everything that you do. You promote our show a lot, man. And that means a lot to I know me and I know Ryan.
You are the most generous Facebooker I've encountered.
It's fucking amazing, man.
In general.
We love you as just a dude and as a guest. You're a great guest. You have amazing microphone etiquette.
We really don't say this to any of the other guests.
Yeah, we
like,
really
you
don't.
You can go back, like, fuck all of those other people. Well, you're the best.
Yeah. Has to pertain to my wrestling, so I know how to handle a microphone. I know how to stare at the camera. Longingly and lovingly.
I do look forward to.
I think this is the first time I looked at the camera all up.
I think really me too.
I glance at it,
but
and I just kind of stare at it. This is my first time in front of it here.
I look forward to having you back. I'm going to stay roughly 2 weeks when we're going to talk about The Thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's great. You're a pretty kick-ass dude, Brooks. I'm glad that
much
we know you and that
you're not just
around.
Saying that because I chopped you, right?
No. You did good chops too, though. But taking this time, I do also want to. I meant to get do this.
My nipples still bleed occasionally from the chops.
Like 4 weeks
you
ago,
you might get that.
I told this guy to do it. But I want to give a really special shout out to Micah Perdue, who is outside of Brooks. This dude does a lot. He shares our stuff.
That's true.
All over the internet. He's a really fucking cool guy.
He's
he likes our
very
show.
Big promoter of us.
So I just want to personally say thank you very much, Micah. I really appreciate everything you do for us. You're a cool guy.
I don't know why you listen to us.
Don't I don't
know
either.
Why you like us?
But thank you for doing
goddamn
it.
Goddamn, thank you.
I do know that Ryan and I both personally signed Abba Zabba Bar for you, which is on the way.
There may or may not be penises on it.
I'm going to go ahead and thank you because I don't want to be carrying that load alone. So thank you very much for helping me help promote this show.
You guys are the best. We don't give out titles like the Tadpog guys do, but I just want to say that you're both really fucking great dudes. So thank you both. That's where I'm going to end the show. Watch American Werewolf in London. Thank you, Brooks. Thank you, Micah. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, sound engineer Andre. I love all of you guys. That's going to be it. You got anything to say?
It's weird that our Halloween episode was like the sweetest ending of every episode we've ever done.
Here it is. Here it is. Go jack-a-lantern yourself.
I went jack-a-lope. I went jack-a-lope. God damn it. Go jack-a-lantern yourself.
That's it. That's it. Oh, my God. That was
all right.
It.
We're That's done. It. I love you guys. Grind out.
Hi, this is Ryan, and if you liked what you just saw or listened to, please check us out at experiencegrind.com. Find us on facebook.com/experiencegrind, at Twitter, over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle's tweeting out a lot of stuff all the time. And then you can always find us, our podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitch, or even on YouTube. Find us, just search Experience Grind Podcast. We don't have a channel yet. Stuff's super easy to find. But please subscribe. We'll get there to you, make it even easier. And as always, if you like what you saw, we cover mini games and episodes every week. There's sure to be something you love. And as always, grind out.